Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Suzanne, my mega guest, which needs no introduction because if you've been around me for a long time, you will most definitely know him. So it's a very exciting show. We will when we have Mr. Atreba, and we know where we get down. It's not going to be lightweight. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. The lines are pretty full. My guessing is if you're on the line, stay on. You know, there's no guarantees of who will get through, but we do try to do the first come, first serve kind of deal. But we have all kinds of, 305 and 203 and 678 and 561 and, 805. And we have a lot of different numbers from kind of all over the map, and I think last month I had people that from the UK, and I couldn't get the numbers up, so it was just like, okay, I guess there's a way that you can call in on Skype or kind of whatever it is, they kind of figure out these things. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome my dear friend and guest, Bill Atreide, and he's a very well-known astrologer. I've had him on for many, many years. It's kind of a staple in my system to have him on at the beginning of the year so we can kind of get a sense of what's going on. I don't have to tell you that 2024 is a bang year. We're going to discuss a lot of that because Bill is kind of on the case of that, and we'll tie some of that in with, whatever callers we get and in relationship to your own life and kind of, wherever that goes. But he will definitely tell you how to get a hold of him. Of course, I can tell you as well. Of course, all that stuff is always up on my site anyway, and we'll kind of go from there. So, as always, welcome to the show, Bill.
Well, thank you very much, Suzanne. Happy New Year.
You too. And we're all hoping
okay.
It's a Happy New Year.
Well, it's going to be an interesting New Year, for sure. there's always a lot going on, and it just, I don't know, the planet just keeps us, well, the planets keep us on our toes here, and learning these lessons of life, which is what Earth's for, and constantly people, I just boil it down quite simply, we're here for one reason, only to learn how to be a better human. And all these opportunities are put on our path to learn how to respond better and not react. And so hopefully we can all learn to do that.
Which is a very, very important thing. And I think that because there is, and without exaggeration, there's a lot of chaos in the world. And because of the world now of internet and media and all kinds of things, it's like you'd have to be under a rock somewhere up in the woods of, the Canadian Rockies without any electricity to not know kind of what was even going on. And even then somehow, you would have to figure out, because if you have a job and you need the internet or kind of whatever. So, we're all kind of in this, circulum together, which is true. And, we have to, as they say, sort of fly kind of like with it. So, we are in January of 2024. And I'm sure we have some new planet configuration stuff going on.
Yeah, well,
and
there's
let's
definitely
talk about
stuff
that,
going
that,
on.
That's your deal.
Well,
that's
I always, I always start looking at. I mean, you try to hold them all together, all the planets, but obviously the slower moving ones are the big timekeepers that put up, longer periods of time and what's happening, and their movement through the signs is a message, and then their relationship to one another provides a different sort of messaging along with that. But what I find striking when I step back and look at this year and look ahead the next few years is that this year is a major transition year, because all these outer planets are beginning to shift from one sign into another, all really at the same time. I mean, we have Pluto, which has been in Capricorn since 2008, is finishing its transition to Aquarius, which it finishes this fall.
Then you have
Uranus and Neptune and Saturn all moving through signs that they're going to be leaving by 2026, but because of the way orbital dynamics work, they begin to edge into that next sign and then back into the other sign and back again. So all of them are transitioning in 2025. And that means as we move into 25 and 26, we are in a totally different environment to have all these major planets in different signs than they've been in for, you know, 10, 15, 20 or more years. That is quite a big shift of energy. And so I see this year as beginning of that transition and then increasing in 25 and then look at where we are by 26. It's going to be quite a ride here. And you know, again, it doesn't mean it's good or bad energy. Energy is energy. It's how we are
energy, right,
primed
right.
and developed to respond to those influences, whether to be uplifted and guided and centered by them or to be sort of thrown off balance and then be reacting overly much is what can happen. But yeah, I just looked at it and said, "Oh my goodness, everything is changing."
tell us some of these planetary configurations, okay?
Well,
so you just talked about how we're coming out of, you said Capricorn into
Pluto,
Aquarius.
Pluto Capricorn into Aquarius, which will be there now from to all the way to 2044. It hasn't been there since the late 1770s into the late 1790s. And when Pluto's in Aquarius, Pluto in Capricorn, I always say it's the time of the breaking down of institutions that had been here since the 1770s. And because they've outlived their usefulness, and whether on the family level, community level, state level, international level, we've all been complaining about how the systems don't work anymore because that form they were created to meet our human needs at that time have now been exhausted, and now we have to change the structure. And
right.
So basically what we've been all moaning and bemoaning for the last many years since 2008 is everything's falling apart. Now as Pluto goes into Aquarius, we have to begin to build the new world. And though it's challenging and try to hold on and keep the old one going, it's an even greater challenge to build the new one. But at least we're forward into the new rather than despairing about the old passing away. So I think it does shift our look to what is the future, what are our hopes and dreams, which is what Aquarius is about. It's about fellowship and community and trying to make the world a better place. So to me, that's a good shift, right? It's going to be helpful.
That's a good shift, right. But you have a whole lot of people that don't want it shifted, and that's part of the issue.
Well,
they don't want to accept the new way of life of people and all that other stuff that goes along with it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, when you're in a time of change, they're people who hearken back to a golden age that probably never was. So they're looking away to a new age that hasn't yet arrived. So we have people looking back and looking ahead, struggling over what is the future. And that's going to be the struggle in the next 20 years of Pluto and Aquarius is disagreeing and finding agreement as to what our hopes and dreams really are. And not just for an individual, but obviously we have to live on this planet and in a sustainable way. So it's about managing the world in a planetary way to be sustainable. That's what Aquarius demands. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Neptune, which has been in Pisces since 2010, begins to transition into Aries. So it's going from the end of the zodiac to the beginning. And Pisces and Neptune and Pisces has dissolved all the boundaries, all the bubbles of belief have been blending and merging. So what people have faith in, what they believe in, what is true, what is not true, has been totally scrambled. And there's all these different, you know, half-truths and falsehoods that have been swirling around. And it's been so confusing. And we begin to become more one-minded one way or the other, beginning in 25 and more in 26 and 27. And the last time this happened was in the sort of the mid-1860s to the 1870s, which was a very driven time in terms of ideals and purposefulness. And then Uranus, which has been in Taurus for the last many years, it begins to move from Taurus into Gemini. Hello, Suzanne, your sign. and so Uranus is the awakener, and so these last several years we've had a shakeup in value. That's Taurus, and we're questioning what is value, what's not value, and that we did this last in the mid-30s to the early 40s, the Great Depression, and that's the 1850s to 1859, so that was leading up to the Civil War. And now we're going to have Uranus in Gemini, which is a really different energy, and it's about new ideas and new communications, and really an amazing experience of communication and networking that will blossom forth in new and wild ways. I mean, it's just one thing after another, but I see that this year, also, this is the final full year of Saturn being in Pisces, that it begins to move into Aries. So one of them is changing.
So you have all this fire and air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really, we're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving into this fiery time and airy time, as opposed to being in this earthy and watery time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's,
mm-hmm.
That's a different energy matrix setting up for the weather on the planet, the spiritual weather on the planet, for sure. And then just more topically, locally for us, we always look at the eclipses, and we know everybody's been thinking and hearing about this big eclipse coming up for our country, because it goes right across our country in April. April 8th is the total solar eclipse of the sun, and it sweeps across from the southwest to the northeast, taking in southwest states and Midwest and up to the New England states. And it's going to be a total eclipse, so it's going to be visible to many people as a partial eclipse, but the totality is this tight band that runs right through southern Illinois, and it really connects to the total eclipse we had back in 2017, 7 years ago, that went from the northwest to the southeast. So it's like a two lines crossing, and they form a perfect X at the center of the continental center of the U.S.,
huh.
And actually right on the spot of the midpoint of the population of the USA. So I got to say, there's a message here, but I'm trying to figure out what it is. But all I know is X marks the spot, and we're right in it, which makes sense for history's sake, I guess. But boy, Pluto, people always got scared about eclipses because the sun disappeared and, oh, my goodness,
mm-hmm.
it's all coming to an
right.
end.
You used to have
but
all that
it really
dogma,
is
yes,
just,
yeah.
It's just making us aware. All these alignments of planets make us aware of how everything is connected, and that
yes.
the sun and the moon and the earth will line up with one another twice a year in perfect alignment so that these things can occur. To me, that seems kind of magical and very special. That who planned this? How is it that the moon is just far away from the earth, that when it crosses over the sun, it perfectly blocks it out? I mean, if it was off by just a few hundred miles either way, it wouldn't do it. And indeed, often
right.
doesn't. Like, eclipse happening in October is in the southern hemisphere. It's called an annular eclipse. And that's when the sun only partially is obscured, and you get this ring around the sun, annular. It's an annulus, which means like a halo. So it's, but the one in the USA in April is a total eclipse, and that is quite special.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. And people are gathering and booking reservations to be in the path of it so they can catch it, weather permitting. So we'll see.
Correct. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I remember seeing a total eclipse. It is pretty spectacular. It really
yes,
is.
Yes, it is pretty spectacular. Yeah.
You know,
I remember
just,
the last time, I think, was out in the West, if I remember correctly.
Well, we did have it. It was in 2017, and but it was partial in much of the country. But there was a band, again, running from the northwest to the southeast, leaving
right.
by South Carolina, coming in like Oregon or whatever. That went right across the country. So many, many people
yeah,
got to see
yeah.
that.
No, many
too.
People, like, they lined up for it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They lined up
yeah.
for it,
it's,
which is actually pretty cool.
It's an event. It is cool.
Yeah.
It is cool.
It's an event.
It is.
Event.
It is. And then, of course, we have our Mercury retrogrades every year, and people should always mark those on their calendar because, you know, it tends to seem be a time, though these happen every day, where misunderstandings and miscommunications and things break down seemingly more easily or often. But I would just say it's just the weather's changed. And if people
right.
would understand what the weather change is, they could make the use of this. And Mercury retrograde just means our normal means of communicating is now being affected by our own energy that is now more introspective and looking more within. So, of course, we're then maybe speaking less clearly to others and maybe receiving less well. So we just all have to pay more attention during Mercury retrograde, and then we'll have less snafus. But it is a time to be reflective, be pensive, rework and rethink things. So the three times of this year will be April 1st to April 25th. then August 4th to August 28th, and November 25th to December 15th.
Okay.
And so people should just know that's a time to really pay attention more than not, but also to take use of this energy so that one can go back and correct one's own thinking and think better about things and review and take the time for what it's to be used for introspection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and Mercury retrograde is very good for writers or somebody that wants to, you know, write or do inner stuff or things of that sort. It's a good time for that one. It's a very good time for that.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. No question about it. And some people who are born with Mercury retrograde often find it's a really amazing time for them because it's like their time, and they really find a lot happens in Mercury retrograde for them during that Mercury retrograde period. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're busy.
Well, we're busy, and again, you know, the energy forms that I see gathering up here hopefully mean that, as opposed to watching things seemingly fall apart for many years here, as they were and are, we maybe have some glimmer that we're going to start beginning to build back and begin to build the world we need to have to move forward into. So I'm always a short-term pessimist, but I'm a long-term optimist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very hopeful that as we move through this year, but especially in 25 and 26 and 27, that we will begin to find the solutions we need and the ways to connect with one another that allows us to address our real problems and real needs with one another in ways that are creative and meaningful and sustainable. That's
mm-hmm.
the goal. That's the goal.
That's the goal, right. But, you know, I mean, the deal is there are people that don't want change, and that's part of life. And you can't go through life without change. It just that's what it is. And they want things to go back in the 50s or so, whatever. I have no idea, like, what that means, which for some people is not a good time for a lot of people. So
No. It's a thing we've seen throughout many centuries, but especially in modern times, what are called millennial movements, that they
right.
People or a group of people dealing with change, and change is a constant. I mean, if we are the living spirit, and spirit is about becoming something more than it was, then obviously you've got to change. And yet we hope and believe that we're being guided and centered in eternal truths that are, for the most part, very much unchanging. But the forms have to change, and the experiences have to change, because we're not the same creatures or beings we were before, and the world around us is changing.
Correct.
So it's this difficulty. But many people, they resist change, they fear change, and they hearken back to their idealized image of the way things ought or should be.
Right.
And the thing is, you can't go back.
No, you really can't. That's the name of the game, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it or not, you know, there's some things that are just here to stay.
Yeah.
You know, the world is not the way it was, you know, in the 50s and even in the 60s. And, you know, I was reading the whole thing about how there must have been some of the planetary configurations, right, you know, prior to right before, you know, the Civil War, right before the stuff in the 60s. I'm sure some of that is, you know, kicking up its heels right now because we had a whole lot of that, you know, going on. So,
well, you know, I mean, people often say what planets or stars are causing things. And I say, no, they're guiding and informing us in terms of universal teachings and truths and periods of time to begin things or come to a pivot or crossroads or finish something and reach a climax. But the content of what we're all faced with individually, in our communities, in our nations, in the world, that was made by we humans, by the choices we've already made in the past. You can't
mm-hmm.
blame the stars. People may try. But it is on us to choose and find the way to being better and making a better world. I do believe that the arc of history bends towards spiritual justice over time. And, you know, and many countries have built themselves upon some very bad beginnings that they still have to atone for and make well by. And
correct.
We are one of those countries, certainly. I mean,
yep.
you know, this country is
yep.
founded in genocide, let's put it in, and slavery. I mean, so, I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Exactly. That's true.
And it's moved closer to atoning for those things, but far from it. And so
yep.
that work continues amongst us all to be that better generation and on to the next generation. And we can't go back, of course.
No, no. Never. Nothing ever works. It's like,
yeah.
you know, it's like, you know, sometimes people can repair a marriage and sometimes people can't, you know. I mean, they can't, you know, but that's just,
yeah.
that's the nature of what it is. So
right.
We have to, you know, we sometimes people try and they try and they try and they do it for all different reasons, you know, either their family or their children or whatever. But, you know,
yeah, yeah.
It comes to a point where we know in reality it doesn't work. So you can't,
yeah.
you can't put,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
certain things together
yeah,
that just don't.
Right. Well,
it takes
when it comes to relationships, and I deal with a lot of clients and talking about who they are and who this person they're with, and there are so many different ways it can go. But the point is to know thyself and who you are and what you have to offer and what you are asking of that other, and see if there is a place in which we can meet and continue to grow and share and love and help each other to grow. And if we
mm-hmm.
can, we can make a go of this, but if
absolutely.
We're really pulling in opposite directions or one is refusing to change and one has to grow, then like anything,
yep.
nothing is forever.
Nothing's going to work. No.
And we may come together for, you know, an afternoon or for 30 years, but we may eventually say fare thee well. And hopefully we say it that way that, you know, sometimes the highest form of love is letting
yep.
someone go. Because
I
love them so much, I know it's better for you to go on without me or I without you.
Mm-hmm.
And many people can't deal with that because they say, no, it's forever. And I say,
right.
the love is forever, but the form it takes is
another. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break.
Sure.
Then we'll come back. We'll take a couple of phone calls. Again, my guest is Bill Attride, and he's going to give you all his information to contact him. And when we sort of like come back and what's going on with him, and what, you know, because I know he does podcasts and all kinds of other things along the way, because we seem to run in the circles with our podcasts. So that's actually pretty kind of cool. So again, this is Susan Arthur with my special guest Bill Attride. We'll take a quick break. I'll be back in a moment.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back to Bell Talk Radio with my special guest, Bill Attride, superb astrologer, has been doing this for a really, really long time. And if you're on the edge or you're going into this year and you want to do a death checklist, you know, he does, you know, private sessions, and you won't be disappointed. That I can certainly promise you. And I don't recommend people, but I recommend Bill. So I want to make that clear, because somebody asked me the other day, did I recommend this person who was actually a medium? And I go, I'm like, no. First of all, I really don't recommend mediums. I may work with a couple. couple, but when it comes to this, this is somebody that I have total confidence in promoting. So speaking of that, do you have anything coming up, Bill? You know, any of your podcasts
I just did a show, I guess it's a week or so ago, and I've got to publish the transcript, because what I do is the first half of the show, I talk about a topic, and then I open up the airwaves like you do and talk to clients and or people mm-hmm. and listeners and answer their questions. And it's almost always about their chart, which is fine. And sometimes it's about the topic I had on the show. And I do it. I try to do it once a month. I didn't get it. I didn't hit that mark last year because the show was so much work. I don't know about you, Suzanne, but I've been so busy in the last year, and well, I guess it's going up for several years now. That it, you know, doing a full schedule of seeing clients Monday through Saturday, and then I do the radio show when I do it on a Sunday. You know, and I do have a personal life. So that,
yes, we do. Yes, we do have a personal life.
But I love
it's a novel idea to have a personal life. Yes.
Yeah, but I love what I do, and I love most of my clients. I love working with, and I keep meeting new ones every week. And I have people I've been working with for 30, 40 years, and
mm-hmm.
it's
just like me. Yes. Yeah.
I'm so grateful. So happy to do what I do.
Yeah.
And thank you for
thing. Few people get to do what they love the rest of their life, and you and I are certainly in that ballpark, you know.
I know.
So
we are.
I get it. Yeah, and I'm like you. I'm extremely busy as well, you know. You know, as a matter of fact, I've got a couple events coming up. I have my last small group this Wednesday for this month, and then I'm going to be in Florida. Hopefully, I got an event with Thomas John at the end of the month, January 31st, and you can check all that stuff, of course, on my webpage, and we can sort of like go from there. And they can get a hold of you. Best way, Bill.
Just Google my name, Bill, B-I-L-L, then A-T-T-R-I-D-E, Bill Attride, and I'll pop up. And I have two different websites that mirror each other for my blog postings, which is about what's going on in the stars and also announcing the radio show. But my email, if people want to reach me directly, it's my name, BillAttride@gmail.com. And on all the different websites that I'm on, Facebook, Instagram, you name all the social media sites, LinkedIn, my phone number's there so they can call me. And if they want to just ask me a question or get an idea of what something to read about spirituality or astrology, I've got a great reading list. And if they want a reading, that's what I do. That's what I do.
Right.
And reading is an amazing experience where you meet yourself and find out that the chart just tells you, confirms to you, yes, this is who you are, and mm-hmm. believe in yourself and go be this. And also gives you guidance in terms of timing of when you might want to start something or when you might want to reconsider something. And it's great for both self-awareness, but also getting this insight about other people in one's life. Like just getting this window into a partner or friend or colleague can help you understand and accept who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just remarkable for that.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's great. Great stuff. Great stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know
you. We actually chose my wedding date. We went through that whole thing, and it was.
I know.
Very cool.
Yes.
You
got to
go through a whole process of that. So let's just take a caller. We'll see where we are. Because of the amount of people that are calling in, I'd like to ask him to sort of keep it brief, maybe like one question. He can check you out really, really quick, and this way we can we have a chance for a few other folks here. So. Let's see. Hello, you're on the air with Bill and Suzanne.
Hi, this is Deanna in Fort Lauderdale. Suzanne, Happy New Year to you and Bill.
Thank you,
Deanna. And I love your music. I love your music.
Thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Thank you.
And my question is about health. I just got given a diagnosis which disturbed me. I was wondering what you get on that.
Oh, you just received a diagnosis in terms of a health matter right now?
Yes, a chronic thing. And I don't think it's true. I think it was brought over by a procedure I have to submit to, and the anesthetic messes up my internal chemistry. But what do you think?
I know your chart, Deanna, and you did have the sun just enter your sixth house of health and healing, but that's for a month, which highlights that area. It doesn't cause something, but it is a time where there may be some new discovery or insight about some particular matter in your life right now regarding your health. So I would hope it's nothing that's too disturbing or alarming, but more a clarification of maybe some matter that you've been dealing with or a pre-existing condition that now there's been some new insight regarding that pre-existing condition. I hope that's what it is.
Yeah, they say that it is actually the chronic illness, and I'm hoping it was just the effect after the anesthetic for the procedure and that
right.
I can overcome it. Both you and Suzanne, I would love to have your answer to that.
Okay.
I'm saying this is, quite honestly, this is my thing. I am big on second opinions, and you owe it to yourself to get a second opinion. They could be close, they could be far apart, whatever it is. It's honestly on the larger scale, it's not a big deal. It's more of a bigger deal for you not to do that. Because sometimes some person will see one thing and another person will see another, especially if you think it has something to do with what you were discussing in terms of, you know, something from pre-diagnosis or pre-stuff. And so, you know, I personally would get a second opinion with that and sort of see where it goes from there. And then you can, you know, make some decisions because these are, you know, we're talking about your physical body. And, you know, so you want to try to get the best opinions that you can.
Right.
So, we're legally, neither Bill and I are legally allowed to recommend.
I'm sorry, you both were talking, so I missed that.
To you that Bill and I, both of us are not legally allowed, you know, on air to diagnose people or to get that information out. So that's I would say that, you know, it's important that if something doesn't feel right, get it checked out by a couple other people. Bill did say something about your sixth house, which, of course, is the health house.
It's health and healing, yeah.
Yeah.
Just topically right now, there is stress in your chart, Deanna, because Saturn is moving to make its opposition to your Mars right now. But that will reach a peak in the first days of February and then fade away, and it's not continuing. So I think you're in a stressful time right now, and someone has said something about something, and maybe like New Suzanne said, get a second opinion because maybe that's, again, their perception of that. And so don't let it get to you right now. Don't let it stress you out. Don't let yourself weaken yourself through fear or worry.
Right.
Keep looking for answers and be reassured that whatever stress you're going through right now should be easing by the time we get into the second week of February.
Right. And the truth is, any kind of, excuse me, I'm just saying, and the truth is, any kind of diagnosis, no matter what it is, you have to remain calm. You can't start creating, you know, mountains out of molehills until you get a sense of, you know, different options. And then you can make some decisions accordingly. And if Bill is saying, like, you know, you got a lot of this energy in the sixth house, which is a house, of course, health and stuff, then, you know, and he's talking about February, which is right around the corner, I would just sort of, like, try to wave through it. Personally, that would be my personal take.
I will try to come and see you in Fort Lauderdale, and I'll talk to you soon, Bill.
Okay.
Could you please
Deanna.
Leave me on so I can listen?
Oh, sure.
I can't
do that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I'll see if
you
I can. But you don't have your radio on, Diana? Deanna?
No.
Okay.
I'll call back.
All right. I'll try. I can't guarantee it because sometimes they you know, the switchboard is really weird. But we'll give it a shot. But don't talk, okay? All right.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air with Bill and Suzanne.
Hi. Hello to you both. Hi, Bill. This is Pat in Connecticut.
Oh,
Happy
hi, Pat.
Happy New Year. Hi.
Happy New Year.
Wondering, could you do a quick forecast for my son, or would you just prefer a question, a general question about the world?
It's whatever you want to ask about, Pat. What do you want to have?
I'd love to, if you have time, just to look at my son's chart. He's got a lot of responsibility and stress on his shoulders,
So I don't think I've looked at his chart before. What's his birthday?
Yeah, you have. It's 6/28/79.
Oh, I have looked at him before. Let me see.
Do you need his last name?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Do I have his last name too?
I guess.
No, here, okay. 628, I mean, I do have it right here. Never mind. I've got it. So what do you need to know?
52 in the morning?
Yes, I got 252.
Yeah.
I've got him. Yep.
I wouldn't have asked otherwise. So just, you know, sort of general, the forecast for his coming year, you know, he's trying to get his business going. He's a freelancer, and he's also kind of burdened with the prospect of trying to buy a house or build a house, and difficult.
Okay. Well, the good news for him is that this last year, Jupiter, which is the planet of growth and expansion, has been in his 12th house, which means that's when you're preparing to expand and you're closing, finishing up old things, tying up loose ends, getting ready for a new cycle of growth. And when Jupiter comes into your first house, it's like the wind is no longer in your face. It's at your back, and you feel like you're being propelled up and out there. And so there's a lot more opportunity coming and a lot more yeses rather than nos in your life. And that starts for him in May. So in May, he's going to see a big change in the weather in this one factor, which is quite important for an individual. This is his time when Saturn's in his 11th house, so he is dealing with his hopes and dreams for the future, which has to do with friendship and companionship and community where he lives, are all important things to stay focused upon. But I would have expected him to be preparing for something new, but for whatever reason, not able to launch it or start it until we get to May. Okay?
Yeah. He's been really held back for a long time, and that's difficult for him. So it's good information. Have you keep hanging
good.
On.
This one
factor, are you talking about career or the responsibility, building a home? I wasn't sure what you meant.
Well, no, it's just in general, he's going to find this year's been more facing into a headwind and not making as much progress as he would have hoped to. And then things just break more his way. There seems to be more optimism and positive energy starting in May and lasting for a whole year for him. Other
Wonderful.
Things are in play that can cause challenges, but that thing, one thing alone really makes a person feel like they're in a different space.
That's terrific. Thank you. Thank you both.
Good. Great.
Okay.
Thanks an awful lot, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool. Very cool.
Okay, Pat.
We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to ask a question. So anyway, this is Suzanne Northrup and Bill Tribe, and we're hopping for the new year here, and trying to get through all the extra things. And obviously, a lot of you guys know Bill and me, so this is actually very cool. Like I said, we do this every year, and this is a real nice thing. So we'll be right back.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back to Blog Talk with my colleague and friend, Bill Tried, and Suzanne. So I just got an email coming to the office, and it was actually a nice email, and they weren't trying to put anybody on the spot, but they wanted to know about if we had any ideas about the politics of the year. So, and they said, we aren't comfortable answering it. We don't have to answer it. You know, we've answered a lot of the questions about the planetary configurations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this was a kind of a specific, and they said, don't feel beholden to give us any predictions or any of the input. So.
Well,
so,
yeah, I mean, we know it's a, we know, well, in this country, certainly it's a very political year, as they is every 4 years. And I have commented on this over for many years, of course, you know, what's happening in this country and around the world, other countries and what's going on with them, Ukraine, Russia,
right,
UK,
right.
I mean, Israel, everything. And for the USA this year, looking at it, irrespective of who's running for office and all that, this is a very special year in the USA because we're having every 29 years, there's what's called a new moon. It's the moon-sun conjunction by progressions. And if you look at the years of the new moon in the USA chart, it's quite distinctive in terms of epochs in our period, like 1816, right out of the War of 1812, 1846, leading up to the Civil War, with the full moon being in 1861, the Civil War starts, 1876 is a new moon, 1905, 1935, then the 1965 new moon, leading to the crisis of 79, then 1994, leading to the crisis of 2008, which we all have lived through. And now here in 2024, it's the next new moon in the USA chart. And a new moon is the planting of a new seed of beginnings that we'll only see the full implications of years to come. But we know that a new cycle is beginning. Equally this year in the USA chart, this is the year that the planet Uranus, the Awakener, goes over the USA moon, and every time it does that, it shakes the moon in a country's chart, rules the people, the nation, the public. And so in 1918, it conjuncted the moon, and it squared it in 1941. Our last conjunction was 2003, and now it's squaring it in 2024. We're going to go through a shakeup this year where it shakes up the ordering of our country in terms of people and how we understand ourselves as a people. And so it will surprise people how things may go. It will not be what is expected or expectable. It's a year when we might experience more shocks. I personally keep wondering, will these two leading candidates make it to the end? You know, I don't know. We're dealing with two very old people doing a very hard job running for president. And, you know, it's not a given that, you know, they're going to make it to the finish line. So that could really shake things up.
Right.
I don't know what the surprises are. I just know it's going to be a shocking kind of a year for us as a country. Okay. And there are pleasant surprises, of course, and unpleasant surprises always
in
the world.
That's the way it is when those kind of changes. Yes.
Exactly.
Because the moon is about emotions.
What do you think, Suzanne, about politics and what's going on in the country?
Well, what I think is what I was sort of saying before is that we're not stagnant human beings, even though we might like to be stagnant human beings. And the world has changed. The world is not what it was 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago. It just was not. And, and there are people that do not want it to change. And they will hold on to the old, and they will do, and they will be, you know, there's some radicalizing in relationship to that, and that's the way it is, you know. It's like, you know, to me the perfect example is, you know, in the Constitution, you know, it's church and state are separate. Well, they're, you know, and there are people that are trying to make those changes, and it's not, it's in the Constitution,
right.
You know.
So, sure, I know.
Know,
well, again,
we either have a constitution of laws, or no, we are a country of laws that you either obey them, or you don't because it doesn't work for you. And it's, you know, that's the basis of our constitution. That's how the country was built on. So,
right.
You know, and it's sort of like, you know, we all know that, you know, some tragic stuff happened at the beginning of last year, and it's still kind of going on. But, you know, I'm like you. I'm a Kakaiga Oxymus, and I think that, you know, when you look over at the view, there are people that their lives are different. You know, they're different as parents. They're different as educators. They're different, you know. And you can't start, you know, taking – but you can't – you can, but, you know, there's going to be a price to pay for that.
And it's not right that one controls, you know, what one reads, what one has in education, what one has in, you know, their personal life with their family and all of the above. And it's sort of like, you know, you have your choices. I'm not hurting you, you know, and it's, you know, and somewhere along the line, it's just sort of like you can't handle it. That's your issue you have to deal with. It's like, you know, and that's sort of how I see it. And I get asked like you, like I get asked that question a lot. But you know, I'm like you. I get, you know, a lot of these questions, and I have to hold truth, my truth, that you know there's a greater picture to all of this, and everything yep. through history, be it the United States or any other country, there was always a lot of changes. It's interesting. I was reading today that Martin Luther King is like in the streets or whatever representations of him are like all over the country, which I think is actually pretty cool. So you know that, that was the vision of this man. That was the vision of this man, is that you know we hold these truths, and you know that's what the whole major speech was about. That was about, you know, we all live here together, and to think that we don't is kind of a real illusion. I'm sorry. I hate to say it, but that's the illusion.
Well, that's what is the battle that's been waged and is being waged very much right now, is what is the future? What is the American dream? What is the dream we all share? Do we share a dream and a vision? And it is being waged as a struggle within families, between communities, around the nation, and we just need to keep talking and listening to one another and understanding that there are more things we agree on than we might think, so we can
begin to
hopefully lower the temperature. And if we look to the universal teachings, whether they be Buddhist, Christian, Judaic, Muslim, Hindu, all the teachers ultimately have said the same thing in terms of what we're here for. We are made of love, and we're here to love one another. And when you do things that do not follow along with that understanding that before me is another being of light that is full of love, if you don't do that, if you don't treat them that way, then you have missed the understanding of what it means to be a human.
That's correct. That is correct. Because we are human beings having a spiritual experience. And and if there's nothing else that I certainly know, dealing with people that have tremendous losses.
People are in pain and hurting.
People are dealing with these tremendous losses. You know, this to them is bullshit, because they feel like they've lost children because of this. They feel like they've lost people in their life because of this. And, you know, that's not right. I mean, that's really, personally, that's just not right. So
No. And some simple changes could make it better. But most people, I find, do poorly or bad things, not because they're strong or full of might. It's because they are filled with fear.
Fearful.
And so we have to sort of help address that fear to lower the volume and lower the temperature so people can hear one another and find where they have common hopes and dreams for themselves and their children in the future. And so we have to turn it in that direction, because it's gotten way too out of control in terms of hate and fear.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, you know, when I walk up to a person in the audience and they've lost their son or their daughter because they were either bullied or because they were, these awful, awful things. And it's not cool. It's just really not cool. And you look at that mother and you look at that father, and it's just sort of like, you know, why me? Why did this happen? And it's like, that's the $64,000 question, you know. And it's not like they weren't good parents. It's not like they, you know, didn't do everything that they were supposed to do. But, you know, as you well know, some children, like adults, are highly sensitive and do not have the tools to deal with that kind of pain. And it's extremely difficult when you're young. I mean, I certainly know from what I do. But
it was a different world, you know. When I was growing up, I just sort of like plowed through it somehow, and I, you know, it was like, okay, I'm different, but, you know, okay, I'm different, and we know I'm different. I don't know what it was, because they didn't talk about mediumship, you know, 6 years ago.
No.
But
we're all, I think we're all mediums at birth, and then some of it gets shut down.
No, that's really true.
Wide open and seeing things and hearing things, and then we begin to get more captivated captured by the reality in front of us rather than the greater worlds all around us. So,
So I've told people that now they have actually done some serious studies, which is really quite wonderful, where they are aware that children up until the age of 5 can't what we call differentiate between this world and the other world, which is why they have imaginary friends.
And they see things that we don't see anymore because the veil is much thinner for them. Yes,
exactly.
All the time.
So, you know, that's part of what that's sort of about here. We will take one more quick question. Make it quick here. Let's try this person here. We're just scrolling down. We have lots of people here. Let's try this one. Hello, you're on the air with Bill and Suzanne. This has got to be quick, dear, or whoever you are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I just wonder, I was told that I would have a move coming up and or some kind of legal issue. So I wonder if you could see that in my chart and give me more details about it.
Can March I get a 29th. Birthday? Okay, what's that?
March 29th, 1950.
March 29, 1950.
Yes.
Okay.
My rising is Aquarius. My moon's in Leo.
Oh, well what's your time of birth? Give me your time of birth.
3:19 a.m.
3:19 a.m. And just where were you born? What city and state?
New York. New York.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Me too. Okay. and you want to know if there's a move coming up soon. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, some kind of legal issue. Someone told me they saw me dealing with legal papers, so I don't know if they're related or what these things mean if they're true.
Okay. I do see that there's two measures of time in the chart that are principally focusing my attention, and most attention of astrologers, is that your progressed moon is about to go in the third house, so you are going into a period where developing your thoughts and forms of communication are going to be much more brought forward. A lot more networking, a lot more communication is at hand in your life, which could be a lot more travel is included with that in terms of networking also. So that certainly is something that seems to be evident. If you are looking to move and thinking about a move, that planet Jupiter will enter your fourth house, the house of the home and family. It's there once every 12 years. So once we get to May, late May of 2024 until May, June of 2025, you're in the best time in a 12-year period to move if you need to move. And if your fourth favorite means you'll sell well, buy well, make a good move. If you're going to move, you want to do it when Jupiter's in your fourth house of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you would be protected.
I don't own. I'm a renter. So I guess I was thinking that the landlord might do something to try to get me out or offer me money or another apartment.
Well that may be true. With Jupiter there means something beneficial coming to you through your home. That might mean that the landlord wants that apartment and is willing to offer you something to vacate it, but then you've got to find some place to go, right? But it usually means you're protected in the coming 12 months in terms of your home. Okay?
Okay. And this, when I get into my house and all this happens, it won't be starting till May?
This happens by late May. By May, let's say the second, third week of May, and for the next year, Jupiter will remain in your fourth house, which helps you to have a better experience of your home, to improve your home, or to change your home. Okay?
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And it is good. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, this has been very interesting and enlightening. Thank you so much for the show and for taking my call. And
okay.
So nice to meet you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions to you both.
Okay.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy
Thank
New
you,
Year.
You too.
Say. You too. Great. So, you know, mention once again how people can get in contact with you, what's going on.
I will mention again
that I have, you know, my only small group that I'm going to have this month, this Wednesday, the 17th, and then I will be doing a live event in Boca Raton, Florida, January the 31st at Thomas John. So, and I will be doing some other events down in Florida. I'm not quite sure when I'm going to get there, but that's kind of up in the air with the world right now. But I will be down there.
Yeah.
So, but certainly for the 31st live event with him, and then this week, like I said, my small group on the 17th. And so I know you have a lot going on as well, Bill.
And sure. And I do a show every couple of weeks, hopefully once a month, and I just did one for the new year, and I did the general forecast, and what I'm planning on doing in the next week or two is do a show where the first half I'm going to talk about the USA chart, Trump's chart, Biden's chart, talk about Ukraine, talk about Russia, Putin, Zelensky, talk about probably Israel and Hamas and all. I'm gonna whatever I can put together in a show and fit into that. I may have to do more than one show, of course. There's so much to talk about. But I'll comment on what's going on as far as what the planets can indicate and I keep on doing my job, just putting out my my work here. So I'm like you, very, very busy and very, very grateful. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. I'm with you all the way. So, but as usual, this is you know, wonderful. And of course, you know that with these a lot of these changes. But there was one thing I wanted to did ask that I missed. So.
Sure.
Pluto is in Aquarius, Pisces in Aries, Uranus is in Gemini.
So Pluto's in Capricorn going into Aquarius back and forth
right.
this year. Neptune's in
right.
Pisces but begins to move into Aries next year.
Okay.
Uranus is in Taurus but begins to move into Gemini next year. Saturn's in Pisces and it's going to move into Aries beginning in 2025. Jupiter.
Got it. Okay.
Jupiter's in your first house, Suzanne,
now,
and so you're having this is a good year for growth and expansion. And, of course, it moves into Gemini, and you're born early Gemini, so you'll have Gemini on your sun this year. So
that'll be a nice thing.
That'll be
we
a very nice
thing.
No, you do. No, it's going to be.
We always welcome that, especially since you and I have been going through a little bit of the Saturn-Uranus stuff. I mean, the Saturn-Aquarius stuff.
Yeah.
So,
this will be a good year for you, I think, Suzanne. So enjoy
that's
that.
That's good. Well,
yeah.
You know me. I mean, I'm big on the gifts that we're given, and I'm big on you know taking it all in because that's honestly the name of the game. And you know, life is one of my favorite lines is like, you know, life doesn't come with a manual, and to think it comes with a manual, and to think that book is in stone doesn't work that way. And so if you don't accept that you're going to get thrown curves and you're going to get thrown things that, you know, you're saying, oh, wow, where the hell did this come from? Well, it came from somewhere in your program. You know, somewhere
right.
in your
well,
soul
that's
program.
When you were speaking earlier about these people who come to you and say, why did this happen to me? And, of course, whatever the incident or tragedy or loss was,
right.
yes,
right.
it happened, and things were set in motion that led to that moment, which caused this sharp pain and suffering.
Yes.
And the real question is not why did it happen, though we can understand that. The question is, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
And
yes.
and how that makes them hopefully a better person in terms of compassion,
right.
empathy, and love is
yes.
the whole point. The universe
the
is trying
point.
To wake us up. So don't pass on the pain. Be a healer.
Yeah. Be a healer.
Be loving. That is
perfect,
the only answer.
Perfect line.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
must end with that line because that's the best.
Okay. Well,
all right, Bill.
You,
as always, thank you very much. Okay. And you can you know how to get a hold of him. Bill
okay.
Atreides at gmail.com. So
okay, thank you.
As welcome, my dear. Thanks, so always.
Okay. Be well. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.